Hello and welcome to episode 115 of the Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. I'm Ben.
I'm Craig.
I'm Derek.
And this is Tink.
This week, we're talking about admiring the skills of immoral people.
So grab your USBs and ESVs and let's get started. Before we get into the show this week, I want to let you know about our sponsor this week, which is Valley Vintage Shop, where you can get soaps, balms, and oils made the vintage way at valleyvintageshop.com. And you can use the code TECH for 10% off. Whatever you need in the realm of skin or hair care, Valley Vintage has you covered with all-natural, handmade products. They've got stuff for beard care for the fellows, hair serums and balms for the ladies, room and body sprays, lip balm, and way more. The bath bombs make an excellent gift, or even, you know, just a special buy for yourself. And they have several different packages of whether it's just soaps or beard stuff or whatever. You can buy that and get it all shipped to you, and you can wrap that all up in a nice little package. They make delightful things, wonderful smelling things, and they're very good prices. All of their merchandise is packaged in recyclable materials, so you're taking care of your environment as you take care of yourself. So to get some to try, go to valleyvintageshop.com. Use our code TECH for 10% off your order. Thank you to Valley Vintage for sponsoring this week of Tech Reformation.
So in case everybody hasn't heard, the Nintendo Switch has been hacked already. I think this happened I think they first got it around December, maybe. And then using that trick that they figured out, apparently about a month ago, some group was able to run Linux on the Nintendo Switch.
Which I'm sure is a terribly practical way of using the Switch.
What a terrible way to use anything.
I actually want to know how you play Linux on a Switch. Like, what's the objective?
Like, Linux is a game. Let's play Linux today.
I didn't realize you were joking at first, and I didn't have the heart to break it to you that Linux is not a game.
I'm not that stupid, Ben.
I didn't think you were any level of stupid, man. I just didn't know if you knew what Linux was.
Yeah, I do know what Linux is. I even know some people who use it. They're interesting.
I guess you beat the game by finally figuring out how to uninstall it.
It's a puzzle game.
Some people probably don't know what Linux is. It's an operating system like Windows and Mac OS that only really nerdy people use.
Yeah, except completely unlike Windows and Mac OS.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just mean like it's the thing that makes your computer a computer that's usable by a person.
Mm-hmm. Kind of. Yep.
So now they can treat the Switch like a computer. And they did this, the December one. So they had like a big, I don't know, hackers meeting, whatever they might call those. And everybody got together and they all worked for a long time. Trying to figure out how they might break into the Switch. And so what they, according to this TechCrunch article, which says according to Fell Overflow, that you can read in this TechCrunch article, their explanation is there's a flaw in the boot ROM in NVIDIA's Tegra X1 system on a chip. When your console starts, it reads and executes a piece of code stored in a read-only memory, stored in ROM. And this code contains instructions about the booting process. It means that the boot ROM is stored on the chip when NVIDIA manufactures it, and it can't be altered in any way after that. So, essentially, it's in the video card. And so, it's not like a software update that they can just force you to download. They would actually have to change the video card to fix this problem. And so I have no idea. I mean, we just read in the description of it, but I have no idea how they figured that out, how to do that.
Yeah, this is the techiest tech reformation we've had in a long time, maybe ever. I'm now imagining in my head a version of this episode in which Tank says everything he just said, but I interrupt with a definition of words every time I feel like it's necessary for a normal person. It's basically incoherent. So,
yep. And that's kind of the point of what I wanted to talk about, actually. Well, half the point. So the first point is these people who figured this out, in my mind, are brilliant. Like, this is, like Ben said, I don't know what most of this means either. And so they all got together, they all worked a really long time on it, and they all accomplished this. And it's really impressive that anybody has the intelligence to, you know, hack into the Switch, in my opinion. But the problem is Nintendo is very upset about that because, you know, the bottom of the article, which again, quotes fell overflow, it says, you know, that, that you could have pirated games through, being able to hack the Switch and some other things that Nintendo probably doesn't like. And so I'm pretty sure this is breaking the terms of service. It is breaking the terms of service. And it's, yeah, I would say it's illegal to hack into the Nintendo Switch. And so that made me thinking, first, this article is going to be just about, hacked, video consoles and what you can do with them and fun stuff like that. But it got me thinking as I was admiring the skills of this group that hacked the Switch. I realized, you know, that these skills that they used to perform something illegal. And is it okay for me to be admiring, them using these skills to do something that's ultimately against the law? And I began thinking of other examples like, you know, there's the movie Ocean's 11, where a bunch of guys get together and they're brilliant and they come up with a way to rob a casino, I believe. So the whole movie is watching these people brilliantly figure out how to do something that is ultimately robbery, which is wrong. And so that's the question I wanted to pose today. Like, I mean, I know that was a movie, but it's based off the idea that other people have been brilliant and robbed banks, and in some ways even brilliantly covered up their tracks in murders, etc. So what do you all think? Is it okay for us to admire the skills and separate it from the ultimate action and say, wow, this guy is brilliant and I can admire that what he did, even if ultimately I can't admire the results?
Well, you see, Tank, skills are not inherently good or evil, but it's what you do with them that that counts.
No.
I think skills are ultimately neutral. And
all right, you know, we're like a broken record.
Could you define skill, please, Derek?
We need a new shtick because this one is really old.
I'm sorry.
I feel like maybe... it's a good point, Tank. And one of the movies I really enjoyed watching a number of years ago when it first came out was Blue Streak. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that. It's Martin Lawrence, and he robs a museum or something, steals a diamond, hides it in a building, which turns out to later become a police station.
Is that some sort of Australian movie?
No, it's American. When he gets out of prison, he then tries to become a police officer so that he can recover it. But they set up essentially the villain as the hero right at the start of the movie. So you're instantly sort of, you know, wanting him to achieve his goal just because he's the sort of central character. And I feel like maybe, like with things like Ocean's 11, and in that instance, maybe it's a little bit different because you know that it's a story rather than something real. So you kind of can separate sin from storyline, if that makes sense. So if he did that in real life, that would be sinful. But in just telling a story about this person, then there's some redemption that comes from him, whatever. So I don't even think it's like it's in every way glorified. I can't remember the exact storyline. But something like this is a real-world situation with the Switch where an actual group has done something that does actually violate real terms of service. And in doing so they've contravened an agreement, a covenant, basically, between the company and the purchaser. And so that is the wrong thing to do. And so I don't think there's any way that we can sort of glorify that or sort of appreciate that, even though the skills involved are ones that not everyone has. Does that make sense?
Wait, I just have lots of questions. But first, an observation. I didn't hear everything you said because I was watching this Blue Streak trailer, which is the most retro thing ever. I mean, it's like 1999 in a world where streaks are blue.
No, it's not like that. It's a comedy.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, there was that voice.
Oh, okay.
I only got like 20 seconds in before I was like, I better listen to what Craig's actually saying here.
But now all of us are going to miss what you're saying because we're pulling up the trailer.
I actually am watching it right now.
Me you better too. Link it in the show notes probably. Yeah, my question quickly about the legality of this. Is it illegal to hack a good that you've purchased and now own? How does that work?
I actually don't know.
The argument could be made that terms of service are not super legally binding. I know that argument out there exists. I can't argue it, but I mean, it is a debate. So there's that. There's certainly tons of people who would argue that it shouldn't be legal if it is legal to hold people to not hacking something that is bought and paid for.
But it's my good if I purchase it.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of the argument. So
am I not allowed to hack my chickens either unless the farmer signs off on it?
Hack your chickens.
Well, actually, that's really funny, but because this is a huge thing among farmers now. You like farming
chicken hacking?
No. Hang on.
Hang on.
That's always been a big thing.
There's a difference here. There's a category error. But anyway, keep going. Gary.
But there are farmers who buy track, like the farming equipment now is very computerized and automated, and farmers can't do their own work on their equipment anymore because this is like the same type of thing as like hacking a Nintendo Switch. Like they have to go through the provider.
I think Ben was trolling again and we've taken the bait.
Yeah.
Okay, so with terms of service, I'm wondering if, I mean, I understand what the argument that maybe they're not fully legally binding because they're more of like a, you know, when we sell this to you, we sell it to you on this basis. These are some things that we'd like you to, you know, to kind of agree to as someone who's purchasing our product. I'm trying to think back to like when jailbreaking iPhones was really popular. And I think the main problem that people were talking about back then was it voids your warranty and that kind of stuff. Like you know.
But that just means Apple won't provide support for you.
Exactly.
That's the decision you can make.
Exactly. But I wonder if, I don't know, but I'm wondering if the way that it's worded might, might have it and come into play. And also, does something like this count as kind of fiddling with someone else's intellectual property, which might contravene a law? So, Nintendo have built something on a particular platform to work a particular way, using particular components, and then other people are going in and changing the way that works. But that you could then use that argument and say any hacking of any computer in any way is potentially illegal, which goes back to the thing about the chickens.
Is there something to be said for like they require us to make an agreement? I don't know if technically they do by buying it, but I assume you have a terms of service that we're agreeing to by buying the product. And so whether or not we own it, there's like before you're allowed to buy this, you have to agree to this. It's like if I sold something to a friend and said, before I let you buy this, don't use this outside. I don't know. And then they say, okay, I promise I won't use it outside. I'll only use this inside. I say, okay, I'll sell it to you. And then
what a tyrannical and unreasonable terms of service.
Yeah, I just was thinking of a random example, but is there anything to be said for that? Like they're asking us to make an agreement, and by buying it, we make an agreement and then immediately go break that agreement. It seems to make more sense on a personal level, at least. But
yeah, maybe that's how it works. Maybe for this conversation, we should just assume that it's illegal and ask, if it's illegal, should we admire parts of it?
That sounds good, yeah. Because I'm sure there's other examples. Like I said, like the brilliant bank robber, that we can watch a documentary on and see like how he went about stealing everything.
I think I'd still land then where I landed originally, but has anyone else got anything to add?
Where did you land originally? Change. I don't, we've gotten
to. Well, yeah, I just made the comment that things like movies where you might be rooting for the sort of the character who's not necessarily doing the right thing. But if they've been set up as a central character, that's a story that's fiction. When you're dealing with a real life product or a real life organization and you're hacking or disassembling or whatever, repurposing what they've done and sort of putting your own stuff into it to fundamentally change the way it works. Maybe, and if that does contravene something that you've agreed to, then maybe that is kind of more morally of a, like a, you know, crossing a moral boundary there. I think the trouble with terms of service is sometimes they're not even, like when you could just-
No, Craig.
No.
It's a landmine. No. Don't step on it.
I'm going to start talking about farming equipment again.
No. I'm just saying when you go, like if I go buy a Nintendo Switch, no one hands me a sheet of paper that says, sign this to agree to our terms of service of Nintendo Switch. Like it's not a contractual thing. It's more of like a terms of reference. This is what we've designed it to do and whatever. So that's why I don't know that it would actually be, I don't feel like I can come down clearly on one side or the other and say, you know, unless I was actually able to read it and go, yeah, okay, they've made it legal somehow or illegal to do certain things. It seems to me like terms of service aren't legal, aren't fully legal documents, but then again, they are when it comes to IP, like, you know, ISPs. So I don't know.
I do think there's something to being able to appreciate, appreciate the image of God reflected in the process that someone takes with something.
I'm with
like
Derek
that.
On this one.
Because there's something.
Okay, we're still here.
Ben's looking around for who? What's Ashton Kutcher? I've never seen.
Actually, I was looking for a tear in the space-time vortex, but we seem to be okay.
So, but I think it's good to be able to see the ingenuity of humanity and glorify God for that, whether or not what's being done is immoral or not. Like there's something. In my thought process, like I see someone doing something like ingenious yet evil, and seeing and thinking, like what could happen if that was focused towards glorifying God?
So would you give glory to God for the way that someone goes to extreme lengths to steal a firearm to conduct a mass shooting in America?
Well, the problem is it doesn't take much ingenuity to do that right now. but I get your point.
No guns.
That was meant to be a joke. That was a joke. But there is a true principle there of if you're going to say that we should be able to appreciate aspects of image of God in the way that people operate, even if what they're doing is not necessarily morally correct, is there a point where what they're doing is so morally incorrect that you no longer can appreciate that?
Probably. and
I think we're not making careful enough distinctions.
Ben wants actual legislation again.
I don't like it.
Specifics.
Craig, you can't avoid that last episode. Huh?
I mean, there's, I don't know. I don't have a super, super strong, like, line on where it stops with this topic. Like, there's going to be a point where I'm just disgusted with what has happened, and I can't even think about like the ingenuity in that. That's just not important.
I feel like it's kind of like the Target bathrooms thing, or like an older example, Starbucks supports Planned Parenthood, so I shouldn't buy Starbucks. Is that the argument you're making, Craig?
No, I don't think so. That's why I gave you crazy eyes when you started talking. Because I was like, where are you going with this?
Well, it's like somehow sin is involved and therefore the entire thing's contaminated and I need to avoid it.
Not somehow sin is involved. I guess maybe because I'm not a programmer, I have a different take on hacking to you guys. So I look at hacking as 99% of the time a negative thing rather than a good thing.
What do you mean by hacking?
What do you mean? What do I mean by hacking?
Here's a great example.
Do we not know what hacking is on this podcast?
Let's talk about abortion, because this is a sufficiently disgusting topic.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The medical technology and the knowledge that goes into performing an abortion.
Guns, abortion,
and if we're not going into guns, we're not doing guns.
No, we're just doing the other hot button topic instead.
Yeah, but we haven't done abortion in a while, probably. So, you know, it's fine.
I mentioned it on the last episode. It's fine.
Can we respect the skills and knowledge of the people who figured out how to, quote unquote, safely accomplish abortions, even though there's always someone that dies, like keep the mother alive? Like, that, I don't see that as something that is respectful or respectable or commendable at all. Like, and so maybe that's where my bias shows through. I generally find hacking things in tech to be cool, and, you know, obviously the massacre of human life is repulsive. So is it a conscience thing? Are we just being terribly inconsistent? I honestly have no good answer here.
I agree with the point that this is an image of God issue, and that it's a facet of the image of God in us that we would express any level of creativity or ingenuity or ambition or reconstituting of raw materials into other things to serve a greater purpose or a new purpose. And I think those things are good. And yet the image of God in us is marred and twisted and plagued with sin. And thus we use those things and more in evil ways. And that is evil. That's what I meant when I said we weren't making careful enough distinctions. I don't know. I feel like there is something to be appreciated when someone who's made in the image of God is involved. And there may be plenty to condemn and abhor and be repulsed by.
So in every situation, there's always something to admire, because I'd have to disagree with that.
Name one.
Well, I don't admire the skills of abortion doctors who use those skills to do abortions, for example.
I don't admire the process of abortion either. I think it's evil,
yeah,
and it shouldn't happen. Do and you so, admire the skills of doctors? Just curious.
Doctors in general, yes, but their specific skills they're using to perform abortion, so I do not admire those skills. So I think there's another distinction there between a doctor and an abortion doctor, like someone who, you know, someone who's doing that. There is nothing redemptive in that act, from what I can tell. There's nothing worth, like, as Derek said, that's respectable in that. That is an image of God person trampling on everything, you know, everything image of God in that situation. Essentially, they're sinning, they're tainting themselves, and they're killing another human being in the process. So, I think there must be situations where evil is just evil and should be called as such. Without, we shouldn't have to think, oh, well, that person's made it in the image of God, so there's some good there. Although the person is made in the image of God and God loves them and can forgive that person, I think as we, like for me, as I think about it, I don't want to sort of open up my mind to thinking, oh, but there's this good aspect to that, you know, that person or whatever. I want to kind of keep clear categories. It's not so that I can be condemning of people who are doing the wrong thing, because, hey, I do the wrong thing too, but so that I am not tempted to kind of, yeah, glorify sin or something like that. I don't know. Maybe that's like I'm going too far down the slippery slope too quickly, but I just can see maybe a danger there if we were to do that.
I think it's really nice to categorize things into neat little boxes that are black or white and never both, or gray also. But I think that there's just dozens and dozens and hundreds and thousands and millions of...
There would be huge amount of examples of gray areas.
Scenarios, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm comfortable with nuance and careful distinction, and I don't think that that causes me to sacrifice in any way, shape, or form objective evil.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough.
Which I abhor.
Yeah, I would agree. So where do we land on this topic?
Well, personally, I think the skills of hacking are pretty cool, and that they can easily be transferred to be doing good things. Mm-hmm. There's the term black hat hacker and white hat hacker, and these are, you know. So you can move to the, you know, the light side of the force, you know, pretty easily with your skills.
Yeah, this is why I wanted us to define hacking earlier, because white hat hacking doesn't just mean I'm a hacker who tries to hack Russia. that's not the point. The whole category of white hat hacking, you know, companies hire, you know, quote unquote white hat hackers to try and try and penetrate their systems and find vulnerabilities so that they can close them. And I think that's a great, yeah, good thing.
And that is it's really good.
Yeah.
But it's only necessary because there's bad hacking.
True.
It's because we live in a world of sin.
We probably won't have white hat hackers in the new heavens and the new earth. Is that what you wanted me to say, Tank?
Yes. I like how there's been three topics within a topic.
I don't know. I still feel like we're being really inconsistent, but anyway.
Tell me where I'm inconsistent and I'll change.
Okay. In our episode on password sharing, we were against that, and terms of service came up, like I said, in relation to ISPs and things like that. And you said, oh, I don't know, it would be against the terms of service. And then you at least said, I don't know how I would feel about that, Ben, if not sort of leaning towards feeling like it probably wasn't the right thing to do. And then here we're talking about contravening terms of service and you're like, yeah, I can admire it for what it is. Like, you know.
I didn't say that. If that's what you heard me say, I misspoke or you misheard.
No, I can admire aspects of it. The skills involved, not the contravening of the terms of service.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's inconsistent. I wouldn't hack a Nintendo Switch, just like I wouldn't share a password that I wasn't paying for. Like, we talked about that.
Okay, but you would admire something in one of them and nothing in the other? So if someone's sharing their password, and that's sharing, and sharing's a good thing, they're sharing a password, so it's a bad thing, and this one is... They're hacking, and hacking can be a good thing or a bad thing. And in this instance, they're contravening terms of service, so it's somewhat bad, but they've used some pretty cool skills to do it. I don't know. I just think it gets a little bit blurry there. Do you know what I mean? Because it's kind of...
Yes, I agree. It's gray. That's what I've been saying. You don't think sharing is good?
No, I think sharing is good. But I think the means of sharing in that instance makes the sharing bad. Like,
yes,
the purpose for sharing, I agree, in that instance makes the sharing bad.
Yeah, so to use your concept from earlier, a general concept can be good and appreciated and admired. When applied to a specific scenario, it can be evil. Mm-hmm. I think just demonstrated that for me, so I don't feel the need to illustrate it.
No, that makes sense. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, okay. That's not too bad. I'm okay with that.
That's probably a good summary.
Yeah.
No, don't make it sound like we all agree. It's okay for us to just end in disagreement.
No.
Everyone already thinks that if one of us says something, then all four of us like think the exact same thing. We are automatons programmed to be identical.
We also don't have to disagree every episode. You and Derek do enough of that as it is.
Yeah, we agreed at one point in this episode, and I don't think I've been sucked into a vortex yet.
Whee!
Unless this is a simulation.
No, but I do think that was a good summary, and like as Craig and Ben have been talking, I've just been over here like thinking, like I still feel like I'm really inconsistent, but I do like your summary there, and that makes good sense to me.
Maybe Tank should tell us what he thinks, seeing as how it's his topic.
Oh yeah. You haven't actually chimed in yet, Tank.
I don't know. I was worried about bringing this topic up because I thought maybe everyone would be like, yep. All right, move on. Or Nope. And we'd all move on. But I wasn't sure which one it would be. So I'm glad that there was not perfect agreement. just thinking of what we all kind of landed on, or not we all, sorry, what was landed on. We can admire the concept, but not the specific situation. I guess that's kind of my problem in that, you know, I can look at the brilliance of a bank robber or medical technology and think like, oh, brilliance is a good thing and medical technology is a good thing. But I guess more what I was getting at is that person's brilliance a good thing? Is that medical? Is the creation, those who created the intelligence of the people who created that medical technology a good thing? I was trying not to say, is that medical technology a good thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now I see why Derek brought this back to tech neutrality.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I guess looking at those specific instances, I'm leaning more towards I can't admire those instances, which I think we all agree on, but I guess that was the question, that I shouldn't be pondering the brilliance of a bank robber and thinking, wow, that's impressive. I can admire his brilliance while ignoring the fact that he robbed a bank. And so it can make me think, wow, that was terrible. I can admire the fact that humans are brilliant and then start admiring other brilliance, but I don't think I should ponder the brilliance of the bank robber.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately what my question was.
Mm-hmm. And there might also be a conscience thing in here somewhere too, that's a slightly tangential thing. Like, even though we can admire the parts of the whole, if that leads us, if we feel that leading us to admire the whole, that may be a thing that we're just personally not at liberty to think about, because it leads us down the wrong path. So if you would like to converse about this topic with us in the Slack, that is the best way to do it. You can find that at slack.techreformation.com to sign up and join. We would love to see your beautiful or handsome face there.
Check out our website for past shows and topics at techreformation.com.
And hit us up on Twitter at techreformation.
This has been Tech Reformation. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. And I ain't looking back.
The funny thing is, none of us have actually looked up Nintendo Switch Terms of Service during this whole conversation.
I actually checked if it exists, and there is a Terms of Service for the Nintendo Switch, but I'm not going to read that thing.
What no does it say? Can you spend the whole week reading it and tell us? Hang on, I'm looking. Don't anybody go anywhere. I'm going to look up this Terms of Service.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm doing that. I'm trying to find it. It's not as easy to find as you'd think. I can find the Wii one.
Can I?
User agreement. It? Maybe they call it a user agreement.
I feel like we could have an episode now on Terms of Service and then an episode on whether hacking or not is bad.
End user license agreement. Okay, if it's an end user license agreement, I would argue that does put you in a binding contract with them, like a covenant, essentially, because a license is a legal document. So,
oh, wait a minute. It is easy to see why you might think that jailbreaking is illegal. The short answer is no, jailbreaking is not illegal. Jailbreaking officially became legal in 2012 when the Library of Congress made an exemption to the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, allowing users to jailbreak their iPhones.
Oh, yeah, that did happen. Well, I guess that just made our whole conversation moot.
In this one specific situation, sure, but we talked about the broader... It does feel like we should say something about this, though.
I'm going to put this at the end of the show, like after the credits. It's like, this is where we look up terms of service and see if this was actually a thing.
Oh, here's the Library of Congress document. Great. Exemption to prohibition on circumvention of copyright protection systems for access control technologies. That was a long title.